Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, and we have been talking about Rick Warren and the inauguration. Now we'll meet a very different kind of preacher, Reverend Dr. Brad Braxton, the brand new senior minister at Riverside Church on 120th Street in Manhattan, the storied progressive and integrated church, American Baptist and United Church of Christ, where Martin Luther King famously spoke and where Reverend James Forbes presided for the last, 28 years. Dr. Braxton is 39 years old, a Rhodes Scholar and a biblical scholar at the Vanderbilt University Divinity School. He's a leading Christian progressive, having presided over another legendary congregation at the Douglas Memorial Community Church in Baltimore. And after our history of having Dr. Forbes on this show many times, we pass the torch and welcome Brad Braxton, the new senior minister of Riverside this holiday season. It's so nice to have you in our studio. Welcome to WNYC and welcome to New York.
Thank you very much.
Your dad was a Baptist preacher in Salem, Virginia. Is that where you grew up?
That is exactly right.
Where in Virginia is that?
Salem, Virginia is in the southwestern part of the state. It's nestled in those beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains.
All the way out there.
Yes.
You're an Appalachian boy.
Yes.
That's pretty different from New York City.
And it is, but I'm enjoying very much the diversity of New York City and the pulse of New York City.
Ever live here before?
This is my first time.
And what made you want to come to Riverside Church?
I think fundamentally for me, Riverside Church is a grand experiment concerning human diversity that is questing for profound spirituality. And it was that mix of values and the prophetic legacy of the congregation that called so deeply to my spirit.
You know that I'll ask you about Rick Warren and the inauguration,
yes.
But give us your broader vision of a social justice ministry. What was it for you at Douglas Memorial in Baltimore, and what do you plan for it to mean here in New York?
When I think of a social justice ministry, and even more broadly, a progressive Christian ministry, I think we need to insert into the public discourse the big transformative ideas. We are all very aware of the problems that plague not only our country but our world. And I would suggest there are three large ideas at this moment that we need to gravitate toward. Number one, spirituality. By spirituality, I mean a relationality that empowers, a broadly defined understanding of relationality that empowers, that is very inclusive. Number two, integrity. Integrity being that process of allowing your internal beliefs and your external practices to be in league with one another. And then third, hope. Hope is moral courage to dream about possibilities, even as we honestly deal with problems. I think the country and the world needs those large ideas, and then underneath each one of them, you can fill them in with social particulars.
It's almost as if you're saying spirituality is what connects us to community.
That is exactly right.
And integrity is the ethical center of the self.
That is exactly right. And when those two things come together, it enables individuals and communities then to dream big dreams about God's commonwealth where everyone enjoys abundance.
Don't you, though, as a man of God, find your individual integrity from spirituality?
That's exactly right. So that what one ought to do in one's best moments is to seek every day to be a walking billboard or a walking advertisement of the very principles that one espouses. And from that comes a moral energy that will draw others into a conversation about justice and goodwill.
How do you then start to fill in the social justice particulars?
What you then begin to do is you realize that behind every social policy are people. So you begin to think critically about who are the people. So let's take, for example, one issue that is very central, prison reform. So you begin to ask, in any situation where crime has occurred, who are the victims of the crime? Indeed, often we forget about, for example, the family of the perpetrator, that a religious community, for example, has a responsibility to reach out to them even as we articulate our stance for just policies that protect people. So think about the people, not just the policies, and that will help you to create imaginative, audacious ideas.
Reverend Dr. Brad Braxton, my guest on WNYC, the brand new senior minister at Riverside Church in Manhattan. I gather your wife, Lizetta Braxton, is a certified financial planner.
Yes.
And owns a financial planning company.
Yes.
She must be busy right about now.
It is a very busy time for her, and one of the things that she's doing, and we will try to take a similar message with us in our ministry at Riverside, is trying to help people be good stewards of their resources. And often we're not able to be as generous as we need to be for others who are less fortunate because we have not been taught to be good stewards of that which God has already given to us.
Does the recession make all of that much more urgent at the church?
It does in this sense. I actually articulated to a group of religious leaders yesterday that this is an hour for Christianity and all religious traditions to do some of their finest work. Indeed, I reminded those religious leaders that the church was birthed in a difficult time where the empire, that is the Roman Empire, was not kindly disposed towards Christianity. So the fact that we find ourselves in a tough space does not mean we should retreat. This is an opportunity for us to inspire people to a new kind of altruism and philanthropy.
And what will that mean specifically at the level of direct service or preaching or whatever at Riverside Church and social justice?
I cite several examples. Number one, that would mean policies, programs at our church that enable people to gravitate toward healthy life options. So this week, I began a conversation with one of our lay leaders about a curriculum that we might start in the coming months for homeless persons to help them gain new skills and then to use the considerable influence of the Riverside Church. We have a number of people who are well situated in our community, then to look to employ those people. So that's one example of how you can create curricula in the life of the congregation to empower people who find themselves in difficult spaces. And number two, I think one of the most important things that a church like Riverside could do would be to look for ways to invest more significantly in early childhood education.
Reverend Forbes had his critics, some of whom said he didn't pursue the social justice mission enough. Is it something you feel you need to reinvigorate at Riverside Church?
Not at all. And I actually want to argue a different interpretation of my predecessor's very fine work. I think what Dr. Forbes did in his moments at the Riverside Church, those 18 years of his service, was challenge our congregation to think more critically and imaginatively about doing social justice, not just around the world, but in that 25 blocks around the church. And sometimes doing justice work at home is more challenging than doing it abroad. And I think that's often what raised, I think, issues and conflict. In fact, every time I ran into Dr. Forbes during the years he was here, he was preaching about the grand social justice issues of our day.
Some critics also say Reverend Forbes took Riverside from being a uniquely integrated church to being more of a traditional black church, losing many white congregants and some others. How do you see your goal in that respect?
Again, I want to say, first of all, my goal is to offer a different narrative than that narrative. I do not think that's the correct narrative. I think the narrative is it was Riverside moving more fully into its experiment of truly being a multicultural congregation. And I think what began to happen with Dr. Forbes serving as the first African-American senior minister and what will continue to happen with me being the second is we at the Riverside Church and in our community and culture will have to have significant, serious conversations about what social privilege looks like, when particular groups feel privileged, and then when that privilege is called into question and you don't presume that one culture is superior over the other, and that creates social ferment. So what was often thought to be controversy was just the good social ferment of a genuine experiment in progress.
What's your rough ethnic breakdown on a typical Sunday morning today?
I would say we're probably in the neighborhood of around 50 to 60% black, broadly defined, and then in the neighborhood of maybe 25 to 30% Euro-Americans, with then a significant presence beginning to come in of our Latina and Latino sisters and brothers and Asian friends as well.
It's a challenge for white people in an integrated setting to be the 30% instead of the 50%.
It does, because what that does is it creates an opportunity to challenge certain presuppositions about whose narrative, whose cultural narrative is presumed to be first. And so what we're engaged in right now is saying, what does a genuinely multicultural congregation look like when all difference is welcomed?
We've talked about everything but Rick Warren, and we have 2 minutes left. And you have spoken out very clearly against Proposition 8.
Yes.
And made clear your position that you stand in solidarity against social and legal discrimination based on sexual identity.
Yes.
In light of that, how do you feel about Obama picking Rick Warren for the inaugural invocation? Maybe he should have picked you.
I would have been honored had he done that. My response is that, first of all, in this moment, for those of us who are in the Christian tradition who want to pray for and gather around President-elect Obama, we need to show our unity as Christians, even though we might have significant disagreements around doctrine. So while on this particular issue, I am obviously on the opposite side, as it were, of Rick Warren, I want to honor the fact that this is a time for us to come together in prayer and in goodwill and to talk about these big ideas as we gather around the president to guide him, even as we say to the president, we hope that you will have a balanced spiritual perspective and that that will be symbolized by people around you who represent genuine diversity concerning spiritual principles, such as the inclusion of gay and lesbian persons fully into the life of our country and our religious communities.
To people who point out that the Bible calls homosexuality an abomination, how do you square that with your Christianity?
Here's exactly how I square it. I suggest that God's good news is witnessed to in Scripture, but it's larger than Scripture. And what the progressive evangelical community must do in this moment is say, we believe deeply in sacred text, but we also recognize we have a responsibility to interpret Scripture in such a way to help Scripture be its best self. There are moments when Scripture is not at its best self, when it promotes injustice and genocide and exclusion. So let's read the good book in ways that genuinely lead to good life
for
all.
That puts human judgment over the so-called Word of God.
It does not so much put it over, it creates a meaningful dialogue between the two.
20 seconds. You're United Church of Christ there, same as the church that Obama belonged to in Chicago.
Yes.
Very briefly, are you sort of a next generation after the kinds of things that Reverend Wright preached, or what's the context of that?
The context here is that we want to say to President-elect Obama that we at the Riverside Church hope that he will consider us his northern congregation. We know there'll be a congregation in Washington, D.C. shortly that will minister to him and his family, but we think this is the kind of place that can nurture a progressive agenda for our world.
I hope he comes to visit. And I hope you have much success at Riverside Church. The new senior minister, Reverend Dr. Brad Braxton, thank you for visiting us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.